BBC right after the international news.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the August 26th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. With the Paralympics for athletes with disabilities underway in Japan, this evening we shine the Sunny Side of Sports spotlight on a 14-year-old swimmer from Uganda. She is the youngest athlete at the Paralympics. Joining us now from Kampala, Uganda, with a feature profile is Magume Davis Rakawinge. Sporty Thursday Paralympic greetings, Magume!
Sporty Thursday Paralympics greetings to Tusani and our listeners. Husuna Kukundakwe, Uganda's Paralympic swimmer, says he's living her dream. The 14-year-old made history earlier this morning when she competed in the women's 100 meters breaststroke swimming race, where she finished sixth with a personal best of 1 minute 34.35 seconds, slashing her earlier record of 1 minute 36.31 seconds. At 14 years, Husna is the youngest competitor at the Tokyo Paralympics Games and the first Ugandan paraswimmer at the Games. She told reporters after the race that participating at the Games boosted her confidence and that the journey for her success had just begun.
I feel like I could even touch the clouds because just I'm the youngest here, and just seeing how the others are doing and just swimming with them is kind of the start of my journey, and I'm just really excited to see how far I'll go.
Husna was born with no right lower arm and a slightly deformed left hand. She says growing up, she was at times discriminated against. She says she hopes today's participation at the Games will help change the attitudes and perceptions the society has on persons living with disabilities.
Most parents who give birth to children with disabilities just abandon them, and sometimes they end up on the streets, like they become beggars. And just maybe if they watch the Paralympics, when they're watching the Paralympics, they will realize that the choice they made was really bad, and they should have rather supported their children to achieve the dreams that they wanted to do. And even sports alone can help raise your confidence. And just maybe giving these kids a chance, when they see that they're different from other people and they realize that they want to do something, sport can help them raise their confidence, and maybe in the future they will just do whatever they want to do.
But it was always a bumpy road, Husna says. At times, she almost gave up and decided to try out other games like football and basketball.
To be honest, I faced a lot of discrimination in Uganda as a person with a disability, but I didn't really care much about those. But it really hurt the most when I was at a swimming gala and I didn't get a chance to swim a race that I really wanted to do. And that made me feel like I wasn't appreciated in society. That made me feel really different. And after that experience, I stopped swimming for a while, and I had to pick my confidence back up to go back for swimming.
Husna's parents are her number one fans. Her mother, Hashima Batamuriza, accompanied her to the Paralympics village and says she's equally excited seeing her daughter compete at the world stage.
I feel so proud that we as parents have managed to bring up a child a child who is useful to the community and to the whole world. Husna is here not only doing swimming, but she has been involved in very many other activities that really make me proud as a parent and as someone who is on the ground. She participated in the main press conference for the Paralympic Games, and she performed very well. Of course, as a mother, as a parent, I just get proud and feel like I have really done enough to develop her to what she is today.
And she has a message for other parents raising children with disabilities.
Yeah, of course, as any other child growing up with a disability, Husna faced very many challenges. But when a person with a disability faces discrimination in society, really brings them down. But as a parent, I tried very hard to see that Husna does not suffer that much discrimination, because I kept encouraging her, I kept talking to her, and not only me, but of course the dad, the family, we kept on talking to her, encouraging her, motivating her, and of course when she started swimming, we became her number one fans and her number one supporters.
And Husna says she'll be watching the rest of the Paralympics games with shoulders high.
In the evening, I'll come back to watch the finals and see how these guys get medals. And just seeing these guys with more experience than I have, and just it will give me a vision of what I want to be when I'm older, when I'm just like them with more experience. It was just really amazing. I feel really happy, and it shows me how I'm progressing. Seeing how I'm progressing wants me to progress more and just keep moving until I get to the point where I can actually get a medal.
Other competitors representing Uganda at this year's Paralympics are two runners, sprinter Peace Aroma, who competes in both 100 and 400 meter sprints, and experienced middle distance runner David Omong, as well as badminton player Asimwe Rita. For the Sunny Side of Sports, I am Mugume, Davis Rwakarenji in Kampala, Uganda.
Thanks, Mugume. A very nice feature on Husna Kukundakwe, who is making a splash in her debut at the Paralympics. In African men's football, four-time continental champion Ghana is going to Cameroon next year with some mixed emotions. The Black Stars of Ghana are well aware they haven't lifted the Nations Cup trophy since 1982. What are the expectations surrounding the team? Joining us now from Accra to try and answer that question is Yao Afusu Larbi. Sporty greetings, Yao!
Sporty greetings, Sunny. 4 Africa Cup of Nations titles and 3 FIFA World Cup appearances, one of which in the quarterfinals of the prestigious competitions. The Black Stars of Ghana have long been regarded as a power in African football. The country's reputation reached the pinnacle at the 2010 World Cup, when they were just a penalty kick away from becoming the first ever African country to reach the semi-finals of the FIFA World Cup.
Asamoah Gyan has the opportunity to send Ghana into the semi-finals of the World Cup. And he hits the bar!
The whole world blamed Uruguayan Luis Suarez for denying Africa a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. But for many Ghanaians, that moment is symbolic of Ghana's failings at major competitions. So close, yet so far. Next year's Africa Cup of Nations in Cameroon marks exactly 40 years since Ghana last won a major continental trophy, last winning the AFCON in Libya in 1982. Since then, the Black Stars have reached the semi-finals on 6 occasions, the finals 3 times, with 2 of those ending in penalty shootout heartbreak.
Boubacar Barry to win the Cup of Nations for Ivory Coast! He's done it!
Ghanaian football fans were usually sympathetic towards the situation, mending their hearts every 2 years, only to have them broken again. But there's only so much disappointment football fans can take before they start to question their loyalties. Over the last 5 years, Ghanaian fans have become more hardline in their expectations of the team, largely motivated by the bonus row that ruined the country's participation at the 2014 World Cup. The conversation around the team has become toxic at times, with fans expecting nothing less than a title every time the AFCON comes around. The head coach of the team, Sike Akono, has taken notice himself, urging the general public to be a little bit positive in their commentary of the team.
We all have to now change from where we are to a bit of positivity. You know, the fact that I know some people doubt if we'll be able to make it or not. It's not about that again now. We've all been yearning for this opportunity to go and win the AFCON. We want to do it. We've all been talking about, but we have been negative. And so we need to change that aspect of our thoughts and thinking. Of course, we don't have any other group of players. The ones we have are the ones we're using now.
With 4 months to start another Africa Cup of Nations, debate continues to rage about on the quality of Ghana's squad to deliver that elusive fifth title. Goal scoring is of particular concern to the team, with Ghana's top striker Jordan Ayew only managing one goal for Premier League side Crystal Palace in the whole of last season. This has led to calls for the inclusion of 36-year-old Asamoah Gyan in Ghana's squad for Cameroon. Ghana's record goal scorer, the former captain, has played less than 90 minutes of football in the last 12 months and recently admitted to struggling for fitness since joining Ghana Premier League side Legon Cities. But president of the Sports Rights Association of Ghana, Kwabena Yeboah, insists Jan's presence could do the team an awful lot more than solve their goal-scoring problem.
I personally feel as a nation, we should make him part of Team Ghana. Even if he doesn't make it as one of the players, I think as an inspirer of the team, as part of Team Ghana, we should see him out there. He has a way of inspiring these players. We take a lot of encouragement and encouragement from him. So let me, I mean, conclude by saying that whether he is able to convince the coach to be part of the 23-man squad that he's going to play or not, the Ghana Football Association should consider strongly how we make him part of Team Ghana.
Ghana's Africa Cup of Nations drought is not only a concern to football fans, but one that has become a national problem. In April this year, President Akufo-Addo called on corporate institutions in the country to help raise $25 million to help sponsor the team's participation at next year's Africa Cup of Nations and the qualifiers for the FIFA 2022 World Cup in Qatar. The announcement sparked outrage, but the sports minister, Mustafa Yusuf, has persisted. The plans, one sure way he believes the country's Africa Cup of Nations failures can end.
It is the dream of our nation to win the African Cup of Nations again in Cameroon next year, and also to qualify for the FIFA World Cup in Qatar. This campaign, which requires a substantial amount of investment to be able to execute this mandate, government alone cannot shoulder the cost at the expense of other sporting disciplines. Historically, Your Excellency, the Blaster have done so well any time corporate Ghana has thrown its weight behind the team.
If history is anything to go by, money has not particularly engineered a decent showing for Ghana at the Africa Cup of Nations. What is certain, though, there is a debate how desperately the country wants to win the Africa Cup of Nations title again. Just ask team captain Andre Ayew.
Everybody wants the trophy. The players want the trophy. The country wants the trophy. I think we are going to do everything that we can, but now there are even 24 teams. So it's even harder than it was before. So we have to prepare very, very well.
For the sunny side of sports, this is Yao Fusilabi in Accra.
Thanks, Yao. From Ghana, let's go to Liberia, which was planning to host the Central African Republic in a 2022 World Cup qualifying match on September 6th at the Samuel Canyon Doe Sports Complex in Monrovia. The Confederation of African Football, CAF, recently gave the Liberian stadium a one-match clearance to stage the qualifier. But now CAF has reversed its decision and says Liberia must play home games in Cameroon. For reaction, Moses Garzio spoke with the president of the Liberia Football Association, Mustafa Raji.
I'm broken. It is very sad news for us, especially where we've invested all of our time and done everything possible to ensure that we play our match here. And based on the fact that we received a communication on the 15th of August giving us the approval that we have a one-off match against Central African Republic, and to receive another communication stating that we can no longer play here, it's very sad for us. I think it's unfair to Liberia, and we've convened an emergency committee meeting and communicated to CAF to see reason, because we've already exhausted our funds in terms of securing the flight tickets, accommodation arrangements, and plan for our national team to play on home soil. It's very disappointing, and it's not good for football. It's not good for us.
Three different inspections. What went wrong along the road?
Well, if you see the reports from the last inspection indicated that there was degradation in the pitch. You know, there's a heavy downpour of rain in Liberia up to now. The Ministry of Youth and Sports also involve experts from the Ministry of Agriculture responsible with facilities of such in terms of improving the grass to ensure that you have more green. It is far level and playable. Unfortunately, the experts from CAF believe that it is not satisfactory and it is far more degraded compared to the initial inspection, and thus recommended and recommending that we play in Cameroon. We still feel that we can make improvement. We started to make significant improvement and we see that there's a change, and we are hopeful that come September 6th we should play our home games here. So we've communicated with CAF and we're awaiting the feedback.
Why would CAF be asking you to play your games in Cameroon instead of you as a country or football association selecting a venue to play your matches?
Well, I think, Moses, I really don't want to be thinking about playing in any other country. The best place to play is Liberia. Second option, Liberia. Third option, Liberia. Unfortunately, I mean, it's a World Cup qualifier. Yes, there are other requirements that CAF expected to be in place. Most of them that we've met, some that are impossible due to the design of the stadium. But the letter sent to us on August 24th wasn't specific to denying us from playing due to the floodlights or bucket seats. It was specific to the playing pitch. And we're hoping that CAF can reconsider its decision and allow us to play the game against Central African Republic, because the initial communication was specific and indicated that we are going to play and they're going to monitor the facility through the VOC and other representatives from FIFA and CAF that will be coming to the match in Liberia.
How does this affect Liberia's participation in the qualification process and your quest to book a place for your first ever World Cup finals?
I mean, it's heartbreaking for our players. With, you know, the excitement playing home is quite different from playing away. Away, you can classify our home at Cameroon, I mean, because of the facility. We have more confidence. We feel far better with all of the team spirit, the support, the build-up towards the game. And now with all of the spirit and motivation, the hunger that, yes, we're going to play on home soil against Central African Republic that have been overturned over a short period, is a bit troubling for us. And we definitely want to play here, and we'll do our best and continue to engage with the authorities of FIFA and CAF.
That's Mustafa Raji, the president of the Liberia Football Association. And he spoke with Moses Garzio in Monrovia, Liberia.
You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Hi, I'm Kim Lewis, moderator for Issues in the News. Join me and a panel of journalists as we discuss the top stories of the week, including the U.S. races to evacuate its citizens and allies from Afghanistan to meet President Joe Biden's August 31st deadline. We'll discuss this and more developments on Issues in the News this Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and Africa Center for Disease Control say we all can help fight the global pandemic by frequently washing our hands with soap and water or using hand sanitizers. For more information on protecting yourself and others, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa Center for Disease Control. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
I'm VOA's Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. In African men's basketball, it's the third day of competition at the AfroBasket Championship Tournament in Kigali, Rwanda. In Thursday's opening game at the Kigali Arena, the Central African Republic edged Guinea 61-60. Max Kugere and Jimmy Jim Rabaye each tallied a team-high 16 points for the CAR, while Cedric Mansare scored a game-high 19 points for Guinea. Guinea has lost its first two games in Group B, while the CAR has one win and one loss. In Wednesday's AfroBasket results, Cameroon lost to South Sudan by forfeit, with FIBA awarding the game to South Sudan because of COVID-19 health concerns. Senegal defeated Uganda 93-55. Ivory Coast beat Kenya 88-70. And Nigeria defeated Mali 81-73. For reaction to Nigeria's victory, Iron Mike Mbonye contacted the head coach of Kano Pillars Basketball Club in Kano, Nigeria, Sani Ahmed.
Well, the first game, the win for today is a very good start for us. You know, first games are always difficult, more so that the team is new, you know, the chemistry. But from what they have executed, I think they have good combination. They play the ball, they distribute it, they shoot very well, and they play good defense. But unfortunately, at the time, second quarter or so, they were a bit down from the defense. So I think they need to work on the defense.
Coach Mike Brown is using new set of players for the FIBA Afro 2021. Do you see the players going far in this championship?
Yeah, you know, Mike Brown has tried his best. I think the players are new, maybe minus one or two people that have been part of the national team before. They are likely to go far if their shots continue to drop. But if not, it's going to be very difficult because we have problem of inside game. But they can push the ball, fast breaks, and, you know, but you can see when we played Mali, at one time the defense collapsed, the shots were not going, and Mali came up. And we were up by only 1 point at half, after leading by 21 points. So, and the only advice I want to give you is I think Coach Mike has to have some trust with the home base players and try to give them some minutes to give some those players to rest. Because it's not, they cannot continue to play alone, you know, without getting help as well. Even if it is defensively, let those players help you. Let those players leave. So I think they may likely go far, you know, all things being equal.
The Tigers of Nigeria will next play Kenya on Friday in Kigali. What do you expect from the Kenyans?
We are playing Kenya, like you said. The Kenyans are always underdogs, so they don't care whoever they are playing. They don't care about whoever they are playing, you know. They will just play. If they lose, they don't lose much because everybody is not expecting them to win. But if you're careless, they can easily go and win you. So we have to be tough with them. We have to be serious. We have to know that we have to top the group so that it is easier for us.
That's Sani Ahmed, the head coach of Kano Pillars Basketball Club. And he spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Kano, Nigeria.
This is Colonel Sam Amedu, retired President FIBA Africa Zone 3. You are once more listening to Sunnyside of Sports on the Voice of America. Thank you very much and have a good day.
Thank you very much, Colonel Sam, and I hope you have a good day too. Well, you might say American wrestler Tamira Mensah Stock had a very good day at the recent Tokyo Olympics. She made history in Japan. Joining us once again with this 2021 Olympic highlight is VOA's Gwen Uten. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Tamira Mensah Stock is the first Black American woman to win wrestling gold at an Olympic Games, and she had to overcome a tough draw to make history. She defeated Rio 2016 champion Sara Dasho of Japan, overpowered Zhou Feng of China, an opponent Mensah Stock lost to twice before, and claimed victory over Ukrainian 2018 world champion Alla Cherkasova. Her final match match was against Nigerian veteran Blessing Oborodudu. Mensa Stock defeated the 10-times African champion 4-1. Following her performance, the American gold medalist described how she was able to overcome her seasoned opponents.
What I love to say is to be the best, you've got to beat the best. And so going against an Olympic gold medalist, my first round, boy, that was a lucky draw. And then the second person I wrestled, you guys might not know this, but I actually lost to Zhao twice. I had never beaten her. And so that was extremely satisfying to finally get that. And then my third match against Ukraine, she scored on me. Like, it was hellishly tough. And the fact that I was able to dominate, it just shows me, like, yeah, everybody, do you guys see this? Like, I'm doing this. I'm being me, too. Like, I'm not sacrificing who I am. And I'm still able to just go out there and, like, conquer. So it's great.
Mensa Stock was born in the U.S. state of Illinois to an African-American mother and a Ghanaian father. After moving to Texas, she took up wrestling at the urging of her twin sister, but almost quit the sport after her father was killed in a car accident on his way home from one of her high school matches. She says her father was her biggest supporter, so she continued to wrestle, eventually becoming the Women's Collegiate Nationals champion in 2014 and 2017. She traveled to the 2016 Rio Games as a training partner for her teammates, and she is now a gold medalist in her debut as an Olympian. And the 28-year-old says she's ready for her next role in life, inspiring a new generation of athletes.
Now that I'm on the stage and I am a Black woman on the Olympic stage and I have a gold medal, there are younger people, like take Kennedy Blades, for example. Like, she can see herself on the stage and go, she did this. Why can't I do it? Like, she looks just like me. This is possible. And I want to be an inspiration to as many people as I can. And so, man, the younger generation, they're going to be so freaking fire. I'm so ecstatic for them. Like, that's all. That's mostly what I want in this world, is just to inspire as many people as I can. Through love, because I love giving hugs since I was a baby. So, yeah, it means a lot.
And Mensa Stock is enjoying the ride in the midst of an otherwise stressful competitive environment. A personal karaoke machine helped the newly crowned champion stay calm and have some fun.
So the karaoke machine is not a secret. However, having fun, I think, is, because people think that when you're going for a gold medal, an Olympic gold medal, you have to be gung-ho, focused, like just omit everybody from your life. And like, you know, like the saying, it's lonely at the top. No, it's not. That was like one thing like I did not want. I wanted to be at the top, be married, not have kids, because that's just hella, that's too much. But I wanted to have fun doing it, because in the end, the journey is the most important thing for me. And like, once I get to the destination, well, what's after it? Like, did I enjoy my journey? I most certainly did.
And Mensa Stock is now helping to make her mother's dream come true. She plans to use her gold medal winnings to help her mom become the proud owner of a food truck that she will name the Ladybug. Mensa Stock is only the second American woman to win Olympic gold in wrestling. The first was Helen Maroulis in 2016.
Hi, I'm Helen Maroulis, Olympic champion for Team USA, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
I also want to mention that Mensa Stock's final opponent, Nigeria's Blessing Oborodudu, won silver, one of two medals for Nigeria at the Tokyo Games. She joins S.A. Brume, who won bronze in the women's long jump event.
Sporty greetings. This is S.A. Brume, 3-times African champion in long jump. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Nigeria finished 8th best among the 54 African nations at this year's Olympic Games. And that is all from me, Sonny. Back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uden. And that wraps up the August 26th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. And this quick programming note, my VOA colleague, Jackson Vunganyi, will be hosting the Sunny Side of Sports on Friday, August 27th,
I get it.
And Monday, August 30th. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.